WABC.
Remember that song? Well, you get so happy just hearing that. That's the Partridge Family. You hear the great voice of David Cassidy there, star of the show, and he was one of the great stars of our childhood. David Cassidy, a great singer, performer, musician. Again, one of the great stars of our childhood and a real legend. And what a thrill to have him with us. He's on the line right now. David Cassidy, how are you?
I'm really good. Thanks, Mark. What an introduction.
Well, what a career you've had.
It's been pretty interesting, hasn't it?
Well, you know, hey, to all of us who grew up watching the Partridge Family, drooling all over Susan Day, loving the music. Yeah, you were there.
I was there. Not drooling, but I was there. Yeah, I was there, and interestingly enough, I've gone back, and I have taken a lot of my early hits and early Partridge Family hits and David Cassidy hits and taken a lot of the great songs in the first 10 albums that I made and that people grew up with, and have put a whole entirely new spin on it. And I can't tell you, for me, last week I was on the cover of Billboard for the first time in 17 years. And
wow.
It's a pretty exciting idea. It's going to be in Target, at all the Target stores. I think there are 1,500 of them all.
Yeah, no, we're talking about your new CD.
Yeah, it's called Part 2.
And for instance, you've taken I Think I Love You and really modernized it.
Oh, yeah. It sounds, you know, I have my son just turned 16, and he had a couple of his friends here. And I don't usually play my songs and my material for me and his friends. But I had just gotten a mastered copy of the new CD, and I put it on for them. And I said, just be straight with me. Just be honest. Tell me what you think of it. Do you like, does it sound? And they listened to it, and my son went, Dad, that actually sounds really cool. No, that's actually good, Dad. I'm like, well, thank you, son. Thank you.
And actually, if people go to your, for instance, your MySpace page, you can hear it. It'll play as soon as
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And it's
MySpace.
It sounds pretty good.
Thank you.
Well, what is it like for your son? Because he can watch these reruns, and he can see you when you were his age.
Yeah, he sees me when I was 19, 20, 21.
But he can watch kind of your growing up in a family. Isn't that kind of odd?
Yeah, he doesn't, you know, he knows that I was acting. He knows that the Partridge Family and I were
but when he sees you wearing the
very, I think, it had an impact on the generation. Yeah. And
but your fan club, the David Cassidy fan club, at one time was the biggest in the world, more members than Elvis or the Beatles had.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing that people that because I didn't go out and tour. I haven't been constantly just going out and playing shows. I've worked on Broadway in the theater. I worked in Vegas and did 2,000 shows. For over 10 years, I never sang one of my hits. So when I went back out in 2001, it became, for me, I went back and listened to all of the albums that I've made, over 20 of them, and took material from all of them. And now I take people kind of on a musical journey, and
yeah.
I will certainly do that this weekend. Friday night, I'm at the Commerce Bank Center. And
yeah, well, Friday night, you're going to be the Commerce Bank Arts Center. That's in Sewell, New Jersey.
Right.
And then
and Saturday, I'm going to be, I haven't played the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank since, I think, 2002.
Yes, yeah, Saturday and the 24th. Around.
Yeah, on Saturday night. And I'm going to bring a lot of the material that I grew up on. And, you know, when the Beatles broke, I was 13. I went out and saw them on the Sullivan Show and went out and bought an electric guitar and learned all the Beatles songs, and I got to know John very well and met all those guys, but got to know John and played with him a couple of times.
Well, give us, and it's too much to answer in one little question, but give us some like idea what John taught you musically.
Well, if you're 13 years old and you go out and buy an electric guitar, you start learning how to play and learning the chords. And those songs, early songs, Meet the Beatles, you know, the second album, Rubber Soul, and, you know, Revolver, and then, you know, going through, they kind of wrote the soundtrack to my youth. And when he and I got together, he came over to my house on New Year's Eve, 74, 75, and, you know, I got to sing some of Paul's parts, and I actually retaught him a couple of the early songs that I still remembered that he'd forgotten.
Really?
So it was pretty cool, you know.
What?
Yeah. You can imagine, I got to live sort of my fantasy, and I was in the Beatles for, you know, a couple of hours one night.
Wow.
But it was just he and I getting, you know, on New Year's Eve getting drunk together and having a great old time.
Can you remember any Beatles musical secrets he passed on to you or when you were next to him?
No. It's just he told me that after, I'm going to say, Sergeant Pepper, I think he told me, they never wrote together anymore. He would come in and he'd have, like, the verses and the chorus, and then Paul would write the bridge and vice versa. But they never wrote together after that.
And you think because they weren't getting along so well?
I think because they lived very separate lives, mm-hmm. and they weren't touring anymore, and they weren't in the same room. You know, in the early years, they traveled together, and they were all in the same rooms together. They were like I was, you know, you were taken from place to place. And they all hung together, you know, and they weren't playing live every night, so they lived in their own houses, and they lived their separate lives with their wives and girlfriends. And I think for that reason alone, they worked alone. And then they would come into the studio and share their stuff together. And, you know, like A Day in the Life, if you listen to the middle 8-bit, Paul sings, "Woke up, got out of bed, dragged a comb across my head." You can hear it's a completely separate deal. But they fit it into what they were doing together. John had the verse and the chorus. And vice versa, you know, they would write that way together, and sometimes not even at all, but it would always be Lennon and McCartney.
You know, you go back, you watch those Sullivan appearances, unlike the other groups where they had that intense, rough rock and roll look, these guys look so relaxed and so happy.
Well, they were so polished from playing live for years together. You know, they played in Germany, like 2,000 shows, and they played, you know, the Cavern and all over. They had been together for a few years and had done so much work in those first few years that they were very polished.
Yeah, no, you're right.
To me, they were the greatest band of all time.
Uh-huh.
Both as, not because George is the greatest guitar.
Nope.
Because of any of those, you know, individuals, yeah. But because of the unit itself.
So you're watching them on the Sullivan Show, not knowing that one day girls would be ripping your clothes off and chasing your car. And
correct.
You know, so when you dreamed of this coming true and then later it's actually happening to you, did you say to yourself, "Oh, what did I wish for?"
You know, I never dreamed of it happening to me, really, because I took a path as an actor. I always played music, and I always played guitar and drums, and I had little garage bands. But I didn't pursue a career in the music business. It happened after I had been an actor for 2 years. I graduated from high school, and the last year of high school, not only was I in drama, but I was the only non-professional that was in the Los Angeles Theater Company. And I worked with them for a year in my last year in high school. 2 weeks after I graduated in Los Angeles, I moved back to New York. I took a part-time job and also studied with a couple of the great theatrical drama teachers, Sanford Meisner. And I got a Broadway show as an actor. And then someone saw me from that first show I did, which closed rather quickly, but saw me and brought me out to L.A. to do a screen test, and then I did, you know, Bonanza, Mod Squad, Marcus Welby, Ironsides, all those dramas. And I pursued my career as an actor.
How many kids can say, "Yeah, I was in Mod Squad, I was in Bonanza"?
Yeah, how many kids can say that?
You
Not
were on
many
the,
kids.
You were on
those shows have been gone for 30 years.
You were actually on the Ponderosa.
Yeah, well, what it appeared to be.
Oh.
I was a little shocked, too, because I had grown up as a teenager watching it and thought, wow, we're going to go out to the Ponderosa. I think again, it was
a bunch of plastic trees and.
Well, no. Although it was, there was a set where it was on a soundstage that was outside of the house of the Ponderosa, where Lauren Green had, he had to confront me. I played a killer. Anyway, it was a great experience for me to do that. And had I not landed the job in the Partridge Family, I never would have had a recording career, I don't think. Even though I sang and was always the lead singer in the choir and all that stuff. But I don't think I ever would have had a career as a recording artist had I not played that role in the Partridge Family. So,
well,
interesting.
David Cassidy, what a career you've had. Now, you'll be at the Commerce Bank Arts Center in New Jersey on Friday, February 23rd, and then Saturday, February 24th, Count Basie Theater. Great new CD. You can get it at Target.
Right.
And everybody should check out your website, which is davidcassidy.com. Right?
It is.
And all your stuff is on there.
YouTube, download David Cassidy's MySpace, and you'll get to hear some of the new CD. It is pretty exciting for me. I think it's creatively, thanks to Craig J., who's worked with some of the great contemporary artists, it's probably the most daring, courageous recording opportunity for me. And I just love it. I really, truly love it. And can't wait to come back to New Jersey, where I spent some of my early years.
Oh, well, it sounds great. Well, good. DavidCassidy.com is the website. Check it out. And thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Mark. Loved it. Can't wait to come back and freeze my butt off this weekend.
Hey, well, we'll talk again soon. Thanks a lot.
Okay, all the best.
I'm sleeping and right in the middle of a good dream. Like all at once I wake up from something that keeps knocking at my brain. Before I go insane, I hold my pillow to my head and spring up in my bed, screaming out the words I dread. I think I love you. This morning I woke up with this feeling I didn't know how to deal with. So I just decided to myself, I'd hide it to myself, and never talk about it, and did not go and shout it when you walked into the room. I think I love you. Again, I don't know what it's all about. I got so much to think about. Let me ask you to your face.